Right now, we're looking forward to an interview with an author. We've got on the line with us Mike Purewall. He's written a book called On Your Way. It's a rhythmic story that inspires children to be adventurous, imaginative, and explore what's around them and within them. And let's, before we get into the story, let's look at, Mike, tell us a little bit about your path to becoming a child's author. Kind of unique, or at least it's sort of a different career for you. Explain that to us.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, definitely different. I was actually in corporate for the last 20 years and decided to make a change. There was a few factors for it, some mental health issues I was going through, some physical health issues, and I thought, you know what, life is just really too short. I want to do something I'm really passionate about. And I just naturally gravitated towards writing. And with my daughter, you know, we're reading some Dr. Seuss books and just decided, why not try doing a book like Dr. Seuss? And lo and behold, this is what happened.
Wow. On Your Way. Now, was it an easy process for you, or was it like rewrite after rewrite or idea and maybe getting some help from your daughter as well?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, you know, to create the story actually didn't take too long. You know, I had a few sessions where I was like mapping out, you know, the scenes and whatnot. But it was a really cool experience with my daughter. I mean, she's actually the main character illustrated in the book. So every time we get illustrations back, you know, we'd sit down together and then we'd review the illustrations and she'd kind of provide her input. And it was a really cool bonding moment that I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
What age range is this book recommended for?
It's 4 to 8, so it's a picture book, but it's about 800 words, so it's got a good story to it, for sure.
And I will say, as a picture book, there is a lot going on in these pictures. So these are those books that you can look at multiple times and find different images and things to talk about or to, you know, look at and stop and admire in this book. Where did the illustrations come from?
So my publisher is based out of the UK, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the illustrations are so vibrant and they're so vivid. I mean, there's rainbow trees, there's rocket ships, there's, you know, so much cool things going on that kids will absolutely love.
Well, let's talk the book. I'm just going to read the first part of this, and you can kind of take us a little bit through the story on this. Today is the day to be on your way. Put down those toys that cause you to stay. Turn off that tablet and TV. Turn on your mind and follow me. With the sun shining bright, you fly your magic kite with all your magic might. Uh-oh, wait a minute. The kite's getting away, and then the journey begins, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the child, you know, loses her kite and actually gets caught in a rainbow tree. From there, the rainbow tree gets chopped down. She gets really angry. She races to the city that's overcrowded and overpolluted. No one's listening to her, so she blasts off into her rocket ship all the way up into space, where she has her great space exploration, and then she crashes back down into Earth, into the ocean, but not to fear. She lands into the center of the universe, where the powers of the universe help fix her ship, and she comes back home, learning a lot of key messages.
Wow. You take everything from just the child's room to outer space to inner space. Talk a little bit about also sort of that thing about talking, you know, not only is it about an adventure, but it's, you know, dealing with emotions and things within. Talk about how you decide to weave that into the story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we all know that youth mental health is, you know, rapidly increasing, unfortunately. You know, there's so much anxiety, depression, and, you know, suicide rates have gone up, which is so, so sad. You know, so I'm trying to just weave some positive messaging throughout the story, you know, to, you know that emotions like anger, worry, and fear, they're going to come up. They are natural, but, you know, you can sit in them and you can overcome them. So, you know, that's one of the main points that I'm trying to get through this story. And at the end, you know, the child's kind of like a superhero where she overcomes these emotions and, you know, she wants to go on more and more adventures.
You mentioned you had, in many years in corporate, you were vice president of sales. How did you use your sales knowledge to kind of get this book out here and published and also being promoted?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know, going into writing children books after a 20-year corporate career, I mean, I knew I had no credibility. So, you know, I used that corporate tenacity. I actually sent out my manuscript to over 150 publishers globally. I was lucky to find a publisher in the UK. And that was, you know, just the first step of the battle. So now I'm here promoting and trying to sell the books. I'm reaching out to, you know, hundreds of bookstores, you know, the Barnes and Nobles and the Amazons of the world, you know, reaching out to different media outlets such as, you know, you great gentlemen. And yeah, just kind of using those sales skills. I guess they're transferable skills to this industry.
We have a lot of great local authors here as well. Any advice for someone who wants to try to get a book published?
Yeah, I think that just for me, I think it's just, you know, just have that tenacity. I mean, you're going to get rejected. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I got rejected hundreds of times. But, you know, once you get that win, once you pick up that publisher, once you get that book, you know, on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, into bookstores, the rewards are just so overwhelming. I mean, it's just, you know, I feel like for the first 20 years of my life, I was focused solely on, you know, corporate and profit, and now I'm trying to make more of an impact, a social impact for my daughter and her generation.
I see in our notes here from you, you got this sort of tied into an insurance financial company. Talk a little bit about that. How'd that come about?
Yeah, so I kind of call this like my creative midlife crisis that I'm going through. So one of the things that I wanted to do was always write books. And the other thing I wanted to do was always act. I mean, I had an opportunity in my 20s to kind of pursue an acting opportunity, but I never did that. And I always regretted that decision, to be honest with you. And now that I'm in my 40s, I'm like, you know what? Life is just too darn short. I'm going to try acting. So I've taken some acting classes, and I'm in this commercial for, it's Manulife Financial. They're the parent company of John Hancock. And it was just such a cool experience being on set.
Wow. Does your daughter look for book number two? What's the story? What's next for you? What's on the drawing board, as they say?
Yeah, so I'm actually writing I'm actually getting published a second book called Boban from Zoltan sometime in 2023. And it's, you know, similar type of messaging, like positive messaging, you know, mindfulness, mental health messaging about, you know, the art of gratitude for children. But this one's a lot funnier. It's like he explains the world and how the world works in a way, you know, you've never heard before. So, you know, look forward to that coming out soon.
Sounds great. Well, again, the book is called On Your Way. Mike Burrell is our guest this morning, author of this. People want to get a hold of this book or find out more of what you're up to. Where's a good place for them to do that?
Yeah, definitely. My website is mikepurewall.com. That's P-U-R-E-W-A-L, just one L. I'm on Instagram at Mike Purewall. You know, my book's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And, you know, I love to promote, you know, local shopping and buying. So please support Suzanne at Max Back's Books on Coventry, 1820 Coventry Road over in Cleveland Heights. She has stock there, and she'll bring in more. So please go support her store.
Right. I'm pausing for a moment to enjoy the stars with the stars band that's out in outer space here in this one book, too. A lot of great pictures, images, as well as a fun story. On Your Way, Mike Purewall, our guest this morning. Thanks for sharing with us this morning, Mike. Thanks. It's good to have you on.
Thank you so much. It'll make for a great Christmas gift, and thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. On Your Way is the name of the book. Mike Purewall putting this together, helped with his daughter as well as they travel out. You've flown a kite, Craig, right? Come on. At some point in your
life. It's been a while, but sure.
Sure, right.
How about you?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have any at home right now?
I was an expert kite flyer.
Oh, I'm sure.
You don't run with the kite. Can we start with that? You don't grab the kite and start running.
What do you do?
You leave it, have it in front of you. Usually it helps with it when short string, you bounce it up to catch a little breeze, and then once it gets going, then you kind of pull back on it against the wind, and then that's what raises it up. If you start with it on the ground and take a run, it's going to do a nosedive and nothing's going to come out. You're going to be exhausted. You stay still. You got to have a good spool of twine as well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have to have the big spool like a fishing thing, but you want to have enough to get going. And then just depend how, because there's been a point where the kite got so high, you're like, what's around here? Whose neighborhood is this over with now? You know, because once it goes up, there's a point where you need to come bringing it back.
Have you ever lost one?
So
blown away by the wind?
My dad used to make a kite for us when I was very young. He made this kite, and in my mind, it was a huge kite. It probably wasn't that big, but when you're little, there's a whole, you know, the things always look larger than that. He would make a kite out of the wood. He would have paper, brown paper that he got, I think, from work where he was at, and we would make this kite. We took it to the park, and I swear, Charlie Brown's kite-eating tree was there. And then from that point on, after a while, you'd think, I think that's, you drive by this park because we, you know, long after you couldn't ever get it, I think that's still the remnants of that kite that's up there in that kite-eating tree.